Out of a couple of scriptures tonight, the subject matter is, if thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. I want you to say that with me. If you faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. Amen. Thy strength is small. I'm going to give you the scriptural reference in just a moment. Proverbs 24 and verse 10. The reason that scripture is so vitally important tonight is because we are last day people. I even saw Jimmy quote me online one time because he mentioned the last of the last days. And when Jimmy quotes you, it's an honor because he don't quote just anybody. Can you say amen? Star Trek fella, he's yeah, praise the Lord. But anyway, amen. I love Jimmy, and you can give him this tape to prove it tonight. Praise God. Hallelujah. He quoted me online because he used the term the last of the last days, and I know where he got it. Amen. He got it from this ministry because I can't hardly talk about, if I slip and say it, I really mean we are in the last of the last days. Now, you wouldn't know it to look at the average church and the average church member because people are not really honing in on the fact that Jesus Christ is coming very, very soon. I want you to know that all the it's like a stage that's a curtain that's getting ready to go up, and the stagehands are placing all the sets on the stage, and the actors are all getting ready. I believe the Antichrist is alive. I believe that he is alive and is preparing to come on the world stage in this generation. I believe that with all of my heart. I really don't believe it'll be in the next generation that the Antichrist shows up. I believe it will be in this generation. I believe the coming of the Lord is at the doors. Amen. I believe we're in the last of the last days because many scoffers, not just without the church, but within the church, there are people scoffing at the message of the rapture or the soon coming of Jesus Christ. Amen. Even as we speak here tonight, I heard a Catholic minister, a Catholic priest, made the statement that Revelation is just about people going through hard times and Israel. I mean, the God's people facing hard times and tough times. It's not to be taken literally. Amen. It is to be taken literally. Amen. Because it's written in the sense of not some kind of just, types. It's written in actualities. What John saw, he wrote in a book, and what he saw was not figurative. It was literal. He described the hailstones and the very weight of them. He saw the comet fall from the sky, or he called it a star, which no star, if a star fell out of heaven, it would just, one of the small stars is the sun, and they say that you can put thousands of Earths inside the sun if it were hollow. So that's one of the little ones, they say. And so it wasn't a star, but he couldn't tell that. All he saw was this bright, burning figure fall into the sea and kill a third part of the sea. Over what? 2 billion people are going to be killed during the tribulation period. It's going to be a time that there's never been a time like it. There will never be a time like it again. And we're hastening toward that day. What is happening in Egypt right now is just letting us know how quick all the nations of the world, in the Middle East in particular, how quick all of this can change. Can you say amen? It can change very quickly. We can get up one day and find out that the nations of the world have come together and designed a new monetary system. It wouldn't be a shock. It wouldn't be a surprise to any of the bankers, to anyone. It would shock the church because the churches don't have a clue. Amen. Yeah. Many cases. The average Christian, like we're talking about, just doesn't get it because we're materially based instead of spiritually based. But Jesus is coming very, very soon. Can you say amen? And the fact that he's coming soon, and there's so little preaching about his coming. So many people are earthbound. They're not looking. Amen. The Bible said unto them that look, he shall appear the second time without sin unto salvation. In other words, that coming is not to judge the world. Amen. That coming is to receive his church. He's not coming to deal with sin in this coming that's about to happen. He's coming to receive the bride. Amen. That he has earned and bought at Calvary. Praise God. We're his reward for Calvary. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Well, we're in the last of the last days, and the Bible said of the last days that perilous times would come. And there's the whole litany of things that men would become to make it such an outrageous day. And it connotates the reducing of the strength. Say that with me, the reducing of the strength. Many Christians got into this race and they thought it was a wind sprint. You just take off and run and you run across the finish line, you get the prize and it's done. No, this is an endurance race. Yeah. Scripture says, they that endure to the end shall be saved. It said many people enter the race, but only one wins it. Run full out. Run it to win it. Can you say amen? There's a lot at stake here. There's a lot at stake here. And I'm convinced there's going to be a lot of people not ready for the coming of Jesus Christ. And we are told to be ready, be prepared for it. And I believe what is happening, because I'm seeing people that have been saved for years compromise. And if you're compromised, you're backslid. It don't matter if you're still going to church somewhere. Can you say amen? Compromise is backsliding. So it doesn't matter if you're still sitting in a church. You can sit in church compromised, and that doesn't make you right with God. Amen? That's backsliding. If I compromise and I'm in church, I'm still backsliding until I repent and deal with the compromise. Reducing the strength. How are the mighty fallen? David said, how can this be? How can the mighty, how can Saul and Jonathan, amen, Jonathan who committed himself to David, how can Jonathan be dead on the battlefield? How can Saul be dead on the battlefield? They led Israel to great victories, but they were worn down and they gave in, and Satan easily defeated them and they died. How art the mighty fallen? It was as if they were not anointed. Isn't that incredible? If you think the anointing is enough to keep you because you've had visions and dreams and talk in tongues and interpret messages, I've seen too many people that did all of that fall. Preachers fall. And the discouragement among ministers is so strong that 1,700 a month leave ministry. They get weary in well-doing. They throw in the towel. They don't understand this is an endurance race. This is, listen, everybody say hardness. The scripture said endure hardness. See, people think they're going to get saved and they're going to get rich and they're going to get famous and everything's going to go smooth. And the Bible said it's going to get tough. And it's even going to be tougher in the last days. Amen? In this world, you'll have tribulation. We're not prepared for the pressure and the persecution. We're only prepared for the blessings. And you mentioned milk toast. The average or the status quo Christian has been given a milk toast message. We're not ready for the day that we're living in. We're unprepared. And people are falling away. That day shall not come. If Satan can weary people enough, people are going to throw in the towel. They're going to go with the flow. Everybody say, go with the flow. And so many Christians are going with the flow, but they're not ready for the coming of Jesus Christ. But ready or not, he's coming. He gave us fair warning. He told us about these days specifically. So I want to read a scripture from the book of Jeremiah to go with that scripture, because I want you to be ready. God wants you to be ready. I want to be ready for the coming of Jesus Christ. Because the Bible said, as the lightning shines from the east to the west, that's how it's going to be. It's going to be just like that. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Amen. Be ye also ready, for in an hour you think not, the Son of Man cometh. I want to be ready for the soon coming of Jesus. See if that'll play. If it won't, I'll preach anyway. Praise God. Hallelujah. No video? No video. All right? It won't play. That's all right. Turn with me to the book of Jeremiah. Praise God. It played this morning, didn't it? Hallelujah. Well, we'll try this. Go with me to the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 12, verses 1 through 6, I believe. Jeremiah 12, 1 through 6. Praise God. And we'll see if that will open for the end of the service. because it would be appropriate for the end of the service. Praise God. Jeremiah chapter 12, and let's read through. Let's just read through verse 5. No, let's just read verse 1, and then we're going to read verse 5 for time's sake. Righteous art thou, O Lord. Jeremiah is speaking here. Now, I want to let you know something that God is going to speak to him in verse 5. It's going to change. He's going to talk to God. God's going to answer him in verse 5. So listen to verse 1, and you'll understand what God is telling him in verse 5. Remember our text tonight. If you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. God wants to build our strength and stamina so that we are up to the test of living for Jesus in the last of the last days. Amen. A great falling away is going to come. And it's already begun. And people that I never dreamed would go back are going back. People I never dreamed would compromise are compromising. They're trying to keep, right now in his old age, Billy Graham doesn't need to be on television anymore. Billy Graham has begun to wear down, give in, and go with the flow. You don't have to believe that. His own words declared it. They asked him about Jesus being the only way to God, and he said, well, I used to believe that. You can't used to believe it. Paul said, listen, you can't, there's some things you can't give in on. And you look shocked tonight. I was shocked and hurt and broken. But the man made the statement. And right now the Billy Graham Association is coming on very strong, declaring Jesus as the only way to God. Because, you know why? Because he is the only way to God. We said it tonight when we started that little song there's no other name given under heaven to men by which we must be saved, save the name of Jesus. Jesus himself said, I am not a way to God, but I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man comes to the Father except by me. And if any man tries to climb up, amen, any other way, he's the same as a thief and a robber. How is that so? It's because Jesus shed his blood. He has the right to claim this place as the only true Savior. Because without the shedding of blood, there is no... And not just anybody's blood. It had to be sinless. And Christ is the only one that could shed that quality of blood. And he did. And that's why Christians died. It's heartbreaking, isn't it? Amen. One pastor of a church, I forget his name, but he has moved from the truth to universalism. He believes that all the world is automatically saved, whether we repent or not. And yet the scripture said, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Amen. One scripture, we could get myriads of scripture, but it only takes one to refute that error. And yet he's bought into the fact. He said, and his statement for doing that is, I'm tired of seeing so many of my friends that are not saved condemned to hell. In other words, he wants everybody to end up in heaven, so he's going to change his doctrine to fit his own desire. I wish everybody would go to heaven too, but everybody's not going to heaven.
That's right. Preach it, brother.
The Bible said, he that believes shall be saved, he that believes not shall be damned, for the wrath of God rests, the justifiable anger of God. Amen. God is angry at sin, and he has to judge sinners because he's too holy to look over it. But he's made a way for every sinner to be saved. It's not his will that any perish, but all might have eternal life. Amen. There are people who don't care about that. It's not a big deal. But there are people there. Listen, I preached a funeral for a 35-year-old man coming back from an Orlando Magic game, amen, or a basketball game. Listen, friend, amen, that when that car left the road, one man walked away and another life was snuffed out, and it went out just like that. Amen. There, nobody in here, young or old, has a guarantee that you're going to wake up in the morning. Amen. Not a person in this room. Amen. I'm not trying to scare you. I'm trying to be real with you. Amen. Salvation is the most important thing in all of the world. And Jeremiah is up against a hard, hard-hearted people. He's trying to preach truth when false prophets are all over the place, giving people something other than the truth. And that's the hardest time for a preacher, is when there's so many others preaching something false and so many people are following them. It's tough. And it was tough for Jeremiah. And so he starts at making his complaint to God in Jeremiah 12. Listen to what he says. Righteous art thou, O Lord, when I plead with thee, and yet let me talk with thee of thy judgments. Wherefore doth the way of the wicked prosper? Wherefore are all they happy that deal very treacherously? Boy, he's talking like Asaph here. In Psalm 73, if you want to mark it down beside of that statement, Asaph said, my feet were well nigh gone. I had almost slipped when I was envious at the prosperity of the wicked, because they are not in trouble like everybody else. Amen. How many know the he didn't just say the wicked, but the rich wicked, the prosperous wicked. We got persecution, they got prosperity materially. And it don't seem right. It's not equitable. I was coming back from a call out with Tampa Electric, and I was on my way home and driving the truck, and the lineman sitting beside of me in the wee hours of the morning, he asked me that very question. And I answered him with Asaph's psalm. I said, there was a man in the Old Testament that looked at the wicked prospering and said, why don't God nail them? Why do I have troubles? And this guy was a Sunday school teacher. I got troubles and persecutions, and there are people that seem to be living the high life, and they're rich and they're wealthy, and they don't have troubles like everybody else. You see what you see in front of courthouses, sometimes you see justice as a woman with a blindfold and a pair of balances in her hand. Don't kid yourself. Don't kid yourself. If you are in the justice system and they give you a court-appointed lawyer because you can't afford to hire a good lawyer, and they have a case stacked that high of cases, and they're getting underpaid and overworked, you're not going to get the same defense. You know what they ought to do? They ought to put the lawyer's names in a hat. And let you pull one out. And let the man that's got all the money pull one out. Can you say amen?
Yeah.
And have a lawyer pool if justice is blind.
Right. Yeah.
Because if you can hire the best, you're going to get a better defense than someone who can't afford the best. Same way with medicine. If you can hire the best doctors, you're going to get better treatment than those that get into the clinic that's overworking and underpaid. Amen. The doctors who want to retire at 50 in the Bahamas, amen, have these big offices and fancy places. But the ones that see people in the clinics, they're not going to retire at 50. Amen. So there's a differential, and that's what Jeremiah was talking about. Something here is wrong. Something is wrong. The wicked are prospering, and I'm getting it in the neck. I'm preaching the truth, and the false prophets are doing fine, but they're nailing me. He said, Lord, I'm really... See, he's starting to wear down. Because he thought if you do right, that everything's going to be fine, and people are going to listen. And I think every minister that goes into ministry has this idea and this ideal that I'm going to preach the truth, and people that are of the truth are going to applaud the truth and support the truth. And they got in there and found out that that's not necessarily so.
Amen.
Jeremiah's preaching the truth. False prophets are preaching lies. The Bible said in the New Testament, and you said that's just Old Covenant. No, that's New Covenant. The Bible said, even as there was false prophets among the people, speaking of the old covenant, there shall be false teachers among you who shall privately bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them. That bought them, bought them, bought them, paid with his own blood to redeem them. What happened to Billy Graham? Billy Graham is getting old. Billy Graham has been around to all the great leaders of the world. And let me tell you what happened to Simon Peter before you think that this is odd that it happened. That when people begin to embrace you from and hold you in such high esteem. The Bible, listen, Peter was an old fisherman. Amen. But when he began to preach the gospel, suddenly the Jewish religious people, the scribes and the Pharisees and the Sanhedrin, they begin to accept him and reach out to him and say, "Go ahead and preach Jesus, but don't forget to add circumcision and all these traditions of the law with grace." That's why the book of Galatians was written, "O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you to believe another gospel, which is not another, but some have perverted the gospel of Jesus Christ." You think having begun in the spirit, you can finish up by doing something in the flesh to earn? And no, you cannot. And how did Peter get off base and just start preaching to the Jews and letting them influence him? The Jews that hadn't come to Christ yet and surrendered to him. How did he get off base? The Bible said, Paul said, there were men of great stature within the religious community that came down and began to reach out to a poor old fisherman that they wouldn't give the time of day until the miracles started happening. Amen. And the wonders. Amen. And suddenly they showed up reaching out to him. And I love what Paul said. He said, whether they were great or not, it's nothing to me. That's the kind of preachers we need today that don't have the persons of men in view. But Peter was swayed. That's after the day of Pentecost. That's after he's filled with the Holy Ghost. Can you say amen?
That's the truth, brother.
It doesn't matter if you talk in tongues or not. It's what you say.
Amen.
Clearly that people have to judge.
Amen.
There are tongue-talking people that are doing wrong and teaching wrong.
Amen.
How can they do that and have the Holy Spirit? It's because the Holy Spirit don't have them anymore.
Amen.
Because when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. Can you say amen? And the truth is, there's no way to heaven but by Jesus Christ. Without the shedding of blood, there is no sacrifice for sin. And there's no other name given under heaven to men by which we must be saved. Save the name of Jesus. The false prophets are being applauded and followed. The man that God called personally to preach the truth, God gave him a warning, a little clue. God gives us some clues of how it's going to be if you stand for truth. You know what he told Paul? He said, go down there to a Christian's house. Let him lay hands on you so you can see. And he said after he called him, he showed him all that he was going to suffer for Christ's name's sake. One Bible professor at Bible College said he couldn't get over, and I've quoted this before, he said he just couldn't get over how many college graduates would come to him after getting their degree, and now they're ready to go out and give their resumes to pastor churches. And they come to him, and they ask him a question that should not ever be asked. They ask him, where in America, what states, what cities have the best packages for pastors? Where can I go and make the most money? Where can I go and have the most prestige? Now that man cannot ever be led of the Holy Spirit. He's already in it for the wrong reason. And he's already looking at it like a profession rather than a calling. And whoever hears him speak is not going to hear the anointed truth from that pulpit. And he said, we train them, but they're not dedicated to Christ and they're not committed to truth. If it's going to cost them something, they're going to leave it. So they're going to be quick to go with the flow. Whatever is popular is what they're going to give the people. Can you say amen? Jeremiah said, look at this. The false prophets, and oh, he complained about the false prophets all around him. Amen. And here's a man preaching the truth and no one is listening. Peter was swayed. It broke my heart. So they're trying to keep Billy sidelined. Keep him out of the public eye. Because statements like that are serious error.
Amen.
If you tell people that you can get to God another way, we have violated the Scripture. If it's senility, then God can't judge it. But if it's senility, he don't need to be in a pulpit from here until he goes to heaven. Can you say amen? Listen to me. You can't, listen, you got to make up your mind. I wish everybody in here could go to heaven, but the fact is, only people going to heaven in this room are people that have trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior.
Amen.
Can you say amen? You can't go with the flow. Many false prophets shall go out into the land and deceive many. Even as there were false prophets among the people, there shall be false teachers among you. That's what ministers are facing today. No wonder many of them are just pulling back. You either go with the flow or you're going to be under the gun. Amen? What's quiet in here? I see people kind of looking kind of weird. We had a good morning service. This is a good evening service. Maybe you don't like to talk about these things. I'm very sorry, amen, that you want to put your head in the sand. Amen. But somebody had better talk about these things. The fact that people are not talking about these things is the reason that we're in the pickle that we're in spiritually in the church. I only want to hear something that lifts me up. This will lift you up if you love God. Can you say amen? Everybody in this room ought to be set for the defense of the gospel. We ought to be applauding the truth. Hallelujah. Supporting the truth and walking in the truth. Glory to God. Wow. Let me just read you some notes I made and that I've tried to get together here very quickly because I didn't know we were going to Jeremiah tonight. Imagine a runner, someone said, on a starting line of a race with no idea of the nature of the race. He's set waiting for the gun to start the race, but he has no idea whether the race is a 100-yard dash or a 5-mile run. Can you imagine that? Picture that. He has very little hopes of running that race. Why? Because he's not ready for a 5-mile run. He has no idea. He doesn't have a clue. He will lose because of his ignorance. My people perish for a lack of knowledge. Jesus taught that we need to count the cost lest we be like the king who went to battle with a dangerous shortage of soldiers. Or in other words, we need to know something about the race before we step up to the starting line. You need to know when you step up to the starting line, amen, that it's going to require that you commit totally and fully to the Lordship of Jesus Christ and to the truth that he brought us. Amen. We can't waffle on these things. And I don't believe that many people are told that on the onset. Jesus was very clear. If you love father, mother, sister, brother, house, land, and your own life also more than me, you're not worthy of me. You'll never follow me. You'll cop out. You'll compromise at every turn. He had 5,000 people follow him because he was the miracle man. If there wasn't no food, he could put a banquet out there. Snap of his fingers. He could put the best wine on the table. Amen. And turn water into it. Praise God. No wonder he had so many following him. And there were so many following for the wrong reason. He said, if you hadn't seen the miracle of the fish and loaves, you wouldn't be following me right now. Amen. You're here for another indulgence of your flesh. You don't understand what this is really all about. Can you say amen? He knew there were people following him for the wrong reason. So he nailed them. And he set a high bar and a high standard that we as preachers are not allowed to remove because he's the one that said it. He said, you can't be my disciple unless you deny yourself the self-indulgent urges and passions of the flesh. Take up your cross, your persecution. You say, Brother Bimble, I have to give up my flaky friends. No, follow Christ. They'll quit you. Well, I don't think I can do without them. Well, it's either without them or without him. You can't have divided loyalties. You can't serve two masters. And that includes your flesh. You love one and hate the other. So he's complaining. Let me tell you how God answers his complaint in verse 5. He didn't tell him why the wicked are prospering. Can I finish Asaph in Psalm 73? He said, they're not in trouble as other men. One translation said, these fat cats have more than their heart could desire. They go to court. They get the best lawyers. They have financial problems. They got great wealth to draw from. They're not like the rest of us. I'm a godly man, and I'm having these issues. There's an ungodly man that seems to be breezing through life, amen, without all of these issues. And he said, when I was envious at the prosperity of the wicked, my feet almost slipped. Boy, the envy of the prosperity of the wicked is deeply entrenched in the church and the doctrine of a large portion of the church world today. We don't need the wealth of the Gentiles. They need the true riches of Jesus Christ that we possess. You didn't hear me. You didn't hear me. If we got food and raiment, we don't look over the fence at what anybody's. If we have Jesus, we have the true riches. And the Bible said if we don't know how to deal with the money and the material things of this world, how are we going to be committed the true riches? We're going to foul that up. We're going to get it mixed up. Amen? Wow. What do you do when so many prophets and so many people supporting them? One minister was outspoken recently, and he spoke out, and he said, you know, we got video games for the young people at the church, and no wonder they come. But what happens when it's time to follow Jesus or follow the world? When it's not fun and games, when it gets down to heaven or hell issues. You had fun at church. I know a lot of guys that had fun at church. I worked with them, young men. They had fun at church. They loved the church because there was so much to do. But then they came in and talked about clubbing on the weekend down in Ybor City and their conquest, illicit sex. So what good is that head count of how many youth showed up Sunday morning? Jesus had 5,000 on the shore of the Sea of Galilee. And he didn't make it easy for them. He made it tough. He said, if any one of you out of this whole crowd that seems so interested and enthusiastic, come on, people are always ready for that wine. They're ready for the fish and loaf. They're ready for divine healing to flow and heal their bodies. Amen. But he said, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about following me. I'm talking about becoming a disciple. If any one of you come after me and hate not father, mother, house, land, sister, brother. We're not talking about hating your mama. We're talking about that he's saying, don't put me, your Savior and your Creator, on the level of any human relationship. Can you say amen? Don't have that tug of war. Do I marry this guy or this gal that's not a Christian because I'm so in love and give up Jesus? And you know, he was astounded at people not getting it and getting the eternal consequences of their decisions. And he said, what would a man give in exchange for his eternal, immortal soul? Is hell for eternity worth giving up Jesus for a temporal, earthly relationship? Of course it's not. But when preachers don't preach on hell, when they don't understand the consequences of those decisions, can you say amen? Then people are going to go there. Many are going to say, Lord, Lord. And he said, depart from me, you work iniquity. Amen? That's what Jesus taught. Yes. It's amazing today that preachers are actually on record as saying they will not talk about these things. Amen. That God is doing a new thing because God is progressive. God is not progressive. He doesn't need to be because God is perfect and His Word is settled in heaven. Praise God. It's not in a state of flux. It's not changing with the times. It's not designer. This is not a designer gospel. This is God's word. Hallelujah. And no matter who compromises, it doesn't matter. Billy Graham didn't save you. Christ saved you. His word is what we're to follow. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Jimmy Swagger didn't save you. Praise God. John Hagee didn't save you. The Pope at Rome can't save you. Our loyalty is to Jesus and to the truth of the gospel. Amen. Listen, Jeremiah didn't realize it, but God knew that they were not going to listen when he sent him. Come on, God saw the end from the beginning. Why? What was Jeremiah's great ministry? Well, part of it is to get to us tonight that are living in these times of such compromise and falling away, and to encourage us, amen, that this is an endurance race and that we need to get our strength built up. Because verse 5 is very telling, isn't it? God answers him. Let's get this answer tonight quickly. If thou hast run with the footmen and they've wearied thee, then how canst thou contend with horses? And if in the land of peace wherein thou trusted they wearied thee, how will thou do in the swelling of Jordan? There's a valley when Jordan, and it was wooded all the way up to the banks of the Jordan River. And it was filled with wildlife, lions and animals. And when Jordan came over its banks, they named that valley, wooded valley, the Pride of Jordan. It's because when Jordan swelled, she's coming and ain't nothing going to stop her. So that valley that flooded, when it got at flood tide, was called the Pride of Jordan. Because Jordan has shown that I can leave my banks and I can go into these wooded areas. But you know what happened when Jordan went into the wooded areas? It drove the lions and drove all of the predators inland. And now you didn't have to go in the woods for a lion to find you somewhere. Can you say, man, you didn't have to go into the wilderness for a hungry lion to be looking for a prey. Amen. And he said, if you run with footmen, what's going to happen with horses? In other words, if you're getting discouraged because of this immediate rejection, what's going to happen when they put you in a dungeon? What's going to happen when they want to take your life? What's going to happen when you might have to put your life on the line? What's going to happen when they don't listen? And yet you're still commissioned by me to tell the truth anyway. Amen. That's why 1,700, almost 20,000 a year, walk away from ministry in the worldwide. That many. It's an incredible amount of people throwing in the towel, giving up, quitting. I like Keith Green, when so many people want to be a prophet in this day. Keith Green said, if you're going to be a prophet, you better pledge your head to heaven. Can you say, man? Because somebody's going to be trying to do you great harm. Amen? They rejected me. He said, they're going to reject you. They persecuted me. They will persecute you. For listen to this. Because a servant is not greater than his Lord. But here's the flag that goes up. Beware when all men speak well of you.
Come on, brother, preacher.
For they spoke well of the false prophets preacher. That came before you. Amen. Can you say amen? So even as there were false prophets among the people, 2 Peter said, there shall be false teachers among you, who shall privately bring in damnable heresies, denying even the Lord that bought them, and they shall make merchandise of you. They don't see you as a soul headed for heaven or hell. They see you as someone to contribute to them, their position, their wealth, their ministry. By the way, giving to the poor won't get you blessed, according to these guys. My dad makes a little bitty check. He gets $456 a month. That's the total of his income from Social Security. Without me helping him and sheltering him, he couldn't live. No way. $456 a month. $446 a month. But he has started giving to a ministry to the Jews that have come out of Russia to Israel, and they're just all almost starvation. And you know what Jesus said about those precious people that my dad is giving to? I'm so glad my dad is giving to them. He said, when I saw an old lady and she hardly had enough to eat, said my heart went out to her. You know what Jesus said about that? He said, if you've done it to the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me. Can you say, man? These guys are saying, if you want to be blessed, find someone that has God's blessing. In other words, find some rich, fat cat that's living beyond their wildest dreams and give them more. Jesus said, when you saw me hungry, you fed me. When you saw me naked, you clothed me. When you saw me in prison, you visited me. I said, Lord, when did we see you like that? He said, when you done it to the least of my brethren, you done it unto me. But these guys say you don't give to the poor. you give to the rich. Because the rich has God's favor and is giving to the favored one that gets you blessed. So I got 4 planes. I got 3 airplanes. I need a 4th. I got a $3 million home. I need a $3 million apartment in another place. Can you say amen? So give to me so you can be blessed. Because it's obvious this is the good soil. It's everything against him. Would Jesus do that? Of course he wouldn't. Everybody knows it. I mean, the world has more sense than that. They can't imagine a Jesus like that. You know why? Because there is no such Jesus like that. Wow. He said, Jeremiah, I hate to tell you this, but you're already getting wore out and you haven't even hit the real hard stuff yet. Let me translate that to the New Covenant. Paul looked at people already getting discouraged because they had their friends forsake them. You know, if we can't go out drinking together, I don't want to hang with you. Well, I ain't going with you because I'm a Christian. And then poor old me, I ain't got no friends. Well, you ought to hang out at church. You'd have some friends.
Amen.
Amen. Come join the body of Christ. If you run to the footmen, they've tired you. What are you going to do in the day of the horses? Amen. What are you going to do when Jordan comes over its banks? Amen. The flood tides come. Paul looked out at a bunch of griping Christians and he said, you have not resisted unto blood, striving against sin. When's the last time they strapped you to a whipping post and beat you half to death? And you got up and went on and kept the faith. Amen. These pretty boy preachers wouldn't have followed Paul around the block. They couldn't take it. They're not equipped for it. Amen? They wouldn't do it. That's why Demas forsook him. Having what? Oh, Demas thought, man, I hook up with Paul. I'm going to have immediate ministry credibility. And he was so persuasive about his spirituality, his commitment to Christ, Paul accepted him to go with him evangelistically. But when they got out there, he found out something. He found out you don't always stay in the Conrad Hilton and Jordan prime rib. Sometimes you're in an old prison cell. Sometimes you're being beat. Sometimes you're being stoned. They're trying to kill you. Amen. And he wrote and said, send me John Mark. He's profitable to me for the ministry. Send me a man that has a value system that represents another kingdom.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Send me John Mark. He's profitable to me for the ministry. For Demas has already forsaken me, having loved this present world. I love the old time song, take this whole world and give me Jesus. I won't turn back. I won't turn back. We need some of that in the modern day Church of Jesus Christ. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Glory to God. I thought we were done, but I found my glasses.
Hallelujah.
Sean said hallelujah. Everybody else says, oh Lord. I'm almost done. Listen to me. I love the Lord. I love the Lord. Someone said there are many misconceptions about the Christian race. One is the idea that Christianity offers an easy escape from the troubles and worries of life. One man said, I don't have problems. All I have is answers. And I see a pink tutu in ballerina shoes. Can you say amen? And I think Tiny Tim. Do you remember Tiny Tim?
Yes, yes.
You don't remember Tiny Tim? Somebody get her a video on YouTube of Tiny Tim
that
tiptoe through the window. I mean, that if you talk about tiptoeing through the tulips, can you imagine somebody like that standing up with Paul when they strip him to the waist and lay it on him? When they beat him with rods? When the boat he's on goes down on 3 different occasions? When he's in the deep for a day and a night? Amen. When men go on a fast and say, I'm not going to eat one item until we kill that man. And they put him over the wall in a basket and let him sneak off in the dark because assassins had committed themselves. I don't know what they did when they couldn't find him. I think they broke their fast. How about you? No, I don't think they starved to death. But they were committed to killing him. Sounds good, though, doesn't it? I don't agree with some of the people that... But I'm just going to name some names. John MacArthur told his congregation, he said, there's a book out there, and it says, Your Best Life Now. It's a million seller by Joel Osteen. He says, Your Best Life Now. And he said it to his congregation. He said, if your best life is now, you must not be planning on going to heaven.
Yeah.
Amen? We're so earthbound. The church has got so earthbound. They're not even talking about heaven or hell issues. It's just now, the immediate, the indulgent of a felt need. I want it all, and I want it now. God in heaven. No wonder we don't have prophets in pulpits. And we don't have repentance in the pew. Sounds good. All we have to do is read the Bible. We'll see that dedicated, committed people get knocked around by life in spite of or because of the very faith that they've espoused.
Yes.
We know that good, dedicated Christian people experience disaster, hurt, and unthinkable evil. Amen? Amen?
Amen.
We're in America. We got a lot of protections here. Be a Christian in Egypt. Be a Christian in Iraq. Be a Christian in Iran. They're dying for him. The least we can do in America is live for him. Somebody say amen tonight. The prophet Jeremiah learned from his own experience and shares this truth with us in his writings. Let me talk about Jeremiah. Look at our text. Jeremiah inquires, God inquires, if you've raced with the men on foot and they've wearied you, how will you compete with horses? Boy, I found out something. I'm meeting with three brothers and I believe they love me. And I know I love them. And I believe we love each other and we share our most intimate situations with one another because we formed a bond of trust. But I have found out something. If you're going to stand for the truth, you've got to be ready, if necessary, Sean, to stand alone. Can you say amen? You better be ready to stand alone because you're not always going to have the support that you think you would have from ministerial peers. I believe some of those men would stand with me in this thing tonight. But that's not the issue. It's not about who stands with me. Amen. I want to be able to stand before the Lord that's going to hold me accountable for the souls of everybody under my influence here on the radio and through the internet. And I want to be able to say, Dale, I am pure from the blood of all men. If someone ends up in hell, amen, it isn't because they didn't hear the truth when they came to Venables Church. If they never come back while they were here, they heard the truth. It's kind of a political popularity thing. Who can get the most numbers? Who can build the biggest church? Who can raise the highest steeple? It's not about truth anymore. And we're watching compromise from people that should have been standing as sterling examples to strengthen others. The day of deception and compromise is upon us. And it's here in full force. If you run with the footmen and they've wearied you, how canst thou contend with horses? And if in the land of peace wherein thou trustest, they wearied thee, how will thou do in the swelling of Jordan? Amen. Jeremiah said, Lord, why is it I'm under the gun? The false prophets are popular. I'm under the gun and the wicked are prospering. I'm under the gun. You know, God said, I heard Israel talking about all these things. You know, God looks on all this. He listens to all our complaints, believe it or not. Can you say, man? And he said, when I come to take up my jewels, but until I come, it's not going to change. But when I come to take up my jewels, my precious ones, when I come to receive my precious ones, then, not now, but then, you shall know that the Lord doth make a difference between the righteous and the wicked. Can you say amen? You're going to be so glad you didn't sell out. You're going to be so glad you didn't go with the flow. Because when he comes, he said, we're going to separate the sheep from the goats. We're going to separate the wicked from the righteous. Can you say amen? You're going to be so glad. Amen. I've lost friends and I've made enemies by standing up, and I've stood alone sometimes in my stand. But I want you to know something. I wasn't really alone, because I have felt the very favor of God. I've felt what that picture represents. I've felt the apostles and the prophets standing in league with me, praise God. I've felt the holy angels around me. I've felt God verified his truth, and it resonated in my heart. Oh, this little church is not trying to win a popularity contest. We're here to plunder hell and populate heaven. Hallelujah. A lot of you. When they cast your name out as evil for righteousness' sake and truth's sake, when they tell all manner of evil about thee, rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, saith the Lord. That's the word of God. And that may be more to me than anybody else in this room tonight. Jeremiah is filled with emotion. He didn't want to debate philosophy. He wanted to know why life had been so unfair to him. That was his issue. And God answered him by telling him, I'm not going to explain this. I just want you to keep running the race. Amen. I'm not gonna come down here and go detailing with you. You just run the race. You just keep the faith. Let God deal with the results and the fallout of it. Can you say amen? Glory to God. Jeremiah was really asking, why does a godly man know such pain, while evil men know such prosperity? Why is it happening to me of all people? And why don't you do something, God, to balance the scales and establish justice? Difficult questions, perplexing for a man of faith. Amen. Sound like God might vindicate himself, but instead, he answered the question with a challenge. Everybody say a challenge as we close down. And this is the challenge. If you've raced with the men on foot and have been exhausted, how can you compete with horses? I don't believe God would have given us Sean if I have to have a bunch of people out here applauding me. Amen. In order to be enthusiastic for God. Amen. And committed to the cause of Christ. If I have to have a church that spells success in the community and among my peers, I don't believe God would have opened the doors to the nations of the world through radio and through the internet. The reason, you know why he's done it? Because he knows. Amen. It's tough and it is discouraging. I can't tell you I've never went down to Tarshish to see if there's a boat out, but I never got on the boat. Can you say amen? Amen. That's Christian victory. Amen. Come on. It's not never getting knocked down. It's getting back up, getting back in the race. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. If you faint in the day of adversity, you don't have any real spiritual stamina. God wants to give his church what we need to run the race. Hallelujah. With persistence and patience that is set before us. Hallelujah. God's going to raise up some men and women. They're not going to be the authors of the best sellers on the book racks. They're not going to be television personalities. Oh, I'm prophesying now. I said they're not going to be television personalities concerned about raising the funds to stay on the channel. Can you say amen? Making sure they don't preach anything but it'll offend any of the givers. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Where did God get John? Out of the wilderness. He didn't come with Armani either. Can you say amen? He was wearing an animal skin. Glory to God. Old man been out there eating locust and wild honey to survive on. God spoke to him out there. Amen. He became the forerunner. Oh, when he was in the womb. Glory to God. While he was in the womb of Elizabeth. Glory to God. He knew what his... Listen, that baby couldn't think and assimilate and articulate, but that baby could feel. Hallelujah. The impact and the import of the words when this virgin says, I am pregnant with a child, and he's going to be called Jesus, Yeshua, Savior, Deliverer. And the babe in the womb of Elizabeth, John the Baptist, leapt. He leapt. Glory to God. And when he saw him, he knew him. Praise God, by revelation, he saw a man coming to be baptized. There was no halo over his head. There was nothing. Listen, they had to pay Judas 30 pieces of silver to point him out in a crowd because you couldn't pick him out in a crowd. Hallelujah. But when John saw him, he immediately recognized him. He turned and stopped everything he was doing. He said, behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. He said, I'm baptizing you unto repentance, but there's one coming. There's one coming after me whose shoes I'm not worthy to unlatch. And when he comes, he'll baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. I must decrease. He must increase. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Jeremiah was looking for an explanation for consolation, but he received an exhortation. He heard God's exhortation, get up and keep running. Can you say amen? Get up and keep running. Get up. Keep running. Hallelujah. Say it with me. Get up. Keep running. Hallelujah. I like the title of a book by Eugene Peterson, and it's called A Long Obedience in the Same Direction. Say that with me, a long obedience in the same direction. That's a Christian race. It's a Christian race. It's a very apt description of the Christian race, as Jesus stated that anyone who follows him had be ready to put his hand to the plow and keep it there. Christianity is not for fickle followers. Discipleship is not for the easily discouraged. Endure hardness. As what? A good soldier of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We don't need a watered-down gospel to attract young people. We need a Christ worthy of their commitment. I said we need a Christ worthy of their total commitment. I said we need a Jesus that's worth their commitment. Can you say amen? Jeremiah's plea for an explanation brought an answer from God, which promised there would be even more demanding trials down the road. Evil men and seducers are going to wax worse and worse as time goes on. Hallelujah. Rather than a reassuring pat on the back, Jeremiah was challenged by God to consider the long haul, the marathon. You're in this for the long haul. Tell the truth every time you prophesy. Don't matter what the people want, or whether you're popular, or whether you're rejected, or whether they listen, or whether they don't. Your calling is to tell the truth. How many know a minister's calling is to teach and preach the truth and let God take care of whether the church... Listen, when they preached the truth, God added to the church. And if God can't find people that love the truth, then we'll have to make do with what we got. But God says, with whatever you have that supports the truth, I'll take that truth to the nations of the world. Amen. I love the morning I walked in, and Sean kind of saw it before I fully accepted it. He said, well, it's official now. This ministry is an international ministry. Glory to God. When they're downloading in Oslo, Norway, and they're downloading in the United Kingdom, and they're downloading in London, that's an international ministry. Evidently, God honors truth, and he wants people to hear it around the world. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Well, having said all that, I'm going to quit saying amen. It's time to make those commitments for the long haul. How many want to be in this thing for the long haul? We're not of them that turn back. unto perdition. We're of them that believe to the saving of the soul. Will you stand up tonight? Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Number six on here, that's audio. We don't have to worry about the video. Praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. We got by without the video, didn't we? But it was nice. We're going to get it fixed because it was good. It's a wake-up call, but it's for another evening, obviously. Praise the Lord. Now, did I say number six? I think that's correct. It is correct. I know it's correct. Amen. How many people here go through some of those knock-around stuff? Nothing. Let me tell you something. It doesn't mean that something's wrong with your faith. It could be because something's right with it. All those that live godly shall have smooth sailing. No, all those that live godly shall suffer persecution. And it takes a whole lot of different forms. But it always has one goal, that's to wear you down and get you out of the race. Can you say amen? God said, I want you in the race, to the end of the race, and I want you to look to Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of your faith. Praise God. Consider him that suffered such great contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you become weary and faint in your own mind. Can you say amen? Amen. If you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. And if your strength is small, it's not because you're not drawing it from him. If you're looking to them, you'll never find what you need. You've got to look exclusively to him. I said exclusively to him. Exclusively to him. But if you look to him, he will give you everything that you need. Paul said, I can do all things. Whether Demas leaves me or whether he stays is not an issue with me. I can do all things through Jesus Christ, which strengthens me. And I'm going to tell you, you stand for the truth and you commit yourself to follow the truth, and all of heaven's resources are going to be yours. And I'm so glad to know him tonight. I'm so glad to know his truth. I don't care if a man's got a big church or a little church. I'm interested in how committed he is to the truth of the gospel. Can you say amen? I'm not intimidated by men with bigger churches and better educations. This is not about that. This is about truth. Yes. Praise God. Amen. I don't hang my head. Not because I'm proud. It's because I know in whom I have believed. And I'm persuaded that he's able to keep what I've committed unto him against that day. And he must be persuaded that I'm able through him to keep what he's committed unto me, this great truth. Can you say amen? Hallelujah! Glory to God! Hallelujah! Let's give him praise tonight before we leave. Bring it up.